This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Interfacing complete. Please stand by. Now downloading Tech Talk Radio with Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ. Tech Talk Radio, it's technology you can understand. And now, here are Dr. Richard Schertz and Jim Russ.
Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. I'm Dr. Richard Schertz.
And I'm Jim Russ.
It's really a cold day in technology, though. Just, I'm walking around, and you know, technology doesn't really keep me warm when I'm walking
from the car to the
radio station.
That skimpy little iPad of yours just doesn't.
It doesn't work. I really need an iPad that's got like a handheld heater built into it.
There's your $1 million idea.
There would be.
Although
there,
I think you already had probably a few other million.
Yeah, but then that would guarantee that my battery life would only be 30 minutes instead of 8 hours.
Yeah.
Well, this week is going to be an interesting show. We're going to discuss the man who started the Khan Academy. That was website of the week last week, mm-hmm. and he's got an interesting, interesting story. So I thought I should really feature him in Profiles in IT. And, of course, you had the big news about the drone that had been hijacked by Iran and how they basically jammed the signal. We'll talk about what they're claiming they did. There's no evidence that they did it. But they claimed that they did it through an interview that was published in the Christian Science Monitor. So we'll sort of outline what makes sense there. Microsoft is almost at the end of all of the antitrust litigation. They have a big lawsuit now going on with Novell. The jury is hung. And so this is going to be the end of an era for Microsoft. And really, Bill Gates has moved on to charities now. I think he's on to bigger and better things. I found a great way to control the TV sets with a universal remote.
Oh, really?
And I can use either my iPad or my iPhone as the remote.
That's pretty cool.
And it connects through Wi-Fi. Actually, it's very neat. So I just had to make that the product of the week because that's what I want to use at home.
There's so much stuff you can do with your iPhone. It's almost scary.
I know. The tip of the week, of course, is going to be relating to archiving your digital photos. Everybody's now taking pictures for Christmas.
Right.
But then nobody backs it up, and then you could lose everything if you have a hard drive crash.
Well, I guess so. But if you have it, I mean, everybody, all the cameras now have an SDI card in them. I mean, that's how I keep all of my stuff.
Well, you could keep it in a memory card. And assuming that you don't overwrite it. Or something doesn't happen to it.
Well, there's that.
You see, like a memory card, static electricity will wipe it out.
Really?
So if you're very careful and don't like zap it with a little bit of high voltage, your photos are going to be in perfect shape.
Okay.
But I wouldn't rely on that to store all of your photos. So we'll talk about some ways to do that later in the show. And Congress has been meddling around with internet technology yet again. And, of course, Congress doesn't even understand the technology. Unfortunately, the bill, Stop Online Privacy Act, so-called SOPA, has been stopped dead in its tracks. It was a bad idea, but Congress is always pursuing to meddle with the internet. And it was, of course, a great, great big mailbag. And so now it is time for...
There's a letter in your mailbox.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Big Voice. Perfectly timed.
I understand. It's fabulous.
It is.
It?
Well, you know what it is?
What's
Mr.
That?
Big Voice is trying to position himself for a good Christmas bonus.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't think so?
I don't ever remember there being such a thing around here.
There are no Christmas bonuses in radio?
No, not anymore. There aren't.
Not anymore.
The Christmas bonus is you get to come back on January
1st. I see. That's the bonus.
That's
you
the
have
bonus.
A job on January 1st.
Correct. Yes.
Well, we got an email from Craig. Hello, Tech Talk. I was wondering if I needed to have a diploma or a GED for a culinary diploma program at Stratford University. Thanks. Oh, he's obviously a guy. He's interested in culinary and listening to Tech Talk. Well, first of all, Craig, thanks for listening to Tech Talk. We love the fact that we have one additional listener. That might take us up to 11 so far.
Yeah,
and so
stop it. I don't hate when you have the self-deprecating humor.
And so
about.
We're really happy with that. Well, actually, Craig, if you want to enroll in any programs at Stratford University, even a diploma program, you do have to have a high school diploma or a GED, because all of the courses, even in the diploma program, fold into the degree program, because we discovered that people might start Stratford thinking they only want a diploma. Then later on, they realize for career advancement, they really need a degree, and we want to be able to, all of those courses have to transfer in, which mm-hmm. means you actually have to meet the requirements for a degree program in order to take those. So work on your GED. Actually, there are a number of online tools or ways to study for GED. There are a number of free courses sponsored by the county for GED. I would urge you to get your GED. You can probably do that in 3 months or so with some hard study, and then you can enroll in Stratford. Great email, Craig, and keep on listening.
Yep.
If you want to get more information about Stratford, you can email them to admissions@stratford.edu, and that goes straight to the admissions team. We got an email from Geek Chick. In Bethesda.
She's written to us before.
Yeah, Geek Chick in Bethesda. Dear Dr. Schertz, I participate in two community listservs that are both hosted by Yahoo groups. I noticed a post on each of them from my account, and I did not post any time this past weekend.
Uh-oh.
That's a problem.
That is a problem.
That's Problemville. How did this happen? How did this happen, and how do I protect myself from such a hijacking of my email going forward? What's the best way to get this cleared up? I assume I'll have to create a new Yahoo email and registry with each listserv. Thanks, Geek Chick from Bethesda. Well, first of all, if somebody has actually hijacked your email account, you immediately want to try to log in.
Mm-hmm.
Because chances are they haven't changed the email, the password yet. And if you can log in, then what you immediately want to do is check the configuration to see whether the email address used for resetting the password is still your email. Then change the password, and you've got the account back. That's what you've got to do. Now, if you cannot log in to the to your account because they've changed the password, then the first thing you want to do is try to reset it, because maybe they forgot to change the email that's used for, you know, resetting the account. So try to reset the password. If they haven't changed that email, you'll get an email message to your account of record, and you can click on that link, and then you can reset the account. That would be the second thing that I would try to do. Now, if neither one of those work, you probably are going to have to get a new account, because if you try to go to Yahoo, try to explain it, you're going to get a lot of help desk. I mean, you know, some people have successfully gotten their accounts back, but it's really more trouble than it's worth. I just set up a new account, actually. Now, how did they hijack your account? That's really the question.
Yes.
First of all, they might have guessed your password. And some people have very weak passwords, like 1234.
Like 11111.
Yeah, so they might have guessed the passwords. And actually, there are tools out there that will constantly try to log on with a set of well-known passwords. So they could have guessed it if you have a fairly weak password. They might have sniffed it at a Wi-Fi hotspot. You might have gone into a place like Starbucks, which has unencrypted Wi-Fi, and logged on. And somebody could have been there just grabbing your username and password right off the airways. Or it could be an unencrypted hotspot at the airport. So that might be where you lost it. Or you might have gone to one of these kiosks or cyber cafes and used a public computer that stores passwords. And somebody could have gone on there and gotten the password that had been saved in the directory. Now, more than likely, somebody actually hacked into the Yahoo database. And they just downloaded a file of passwords. That's, you know, periodically happens. And then they could have gotten into your account that way. Or if you are like many people, you use the same password everywhere, they could have hacked into some other database and then use that same password on your account there with Yahoo. Those are just a few of the ways that could have gotten into it. So in the future, you want to make certain you have a password that is strong. It needs to be at least 8 characters, mm-hmm. minimum of 8 characters. Mm-hmm. You would like to have uppercase and lowercase, both uppercase and lowercase, probably with the uppercase randomly distributed in the word, not just the first letter. You would have want to use both letters and numbers, because then it's harder for them to look it up. And if you have something like that, a strong password such as that, it's much better. And then try to use a different password for each of your accounts. And that's probably the best way you can protect yourself. These online email accounts are periodically hijacked. You hear about it quite often. So you really don't want to store on an online account something that's actually critical to your existence, because it may be gone tomorrow.
Exactly, correct.
We have an email from Andrew. Dear Tech Talk.
Not our Andrew.
No. Oh, I don't. Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is. I don't think it's our Andrew.
Andrew doesn't work at the help desk. He works at the no help desk. Just kidding.
Yeah. No, he's the producer.
He is the nerve producer. Center of this.
Yes, the nerve exactly. center of this.
Something like that.
Of this high tech.
Wait a
show.
Minute. That's on the third floor, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, that. Dear Tech Talk, I want to advance my IT career. I'm currently working at the help desk, but I'd like to do more. What do you suggest? Love Tech Talk. Thanks, Andrew.
I'll get you all everywhere if you love Tech Talk.
That's right. Well, that's actually a good start. That's really you go to work and you talk about Tech Talk, you know, at the break, talk, tell everybody about Tech Talk. That'll let people know that you're a serious
techie.
Then by
the end of the week, we'll have like 15
that's
listeners.
Right. Now, what you need to do is you need to be a continuous learner, and you need to start learning about new things in technology, things that are going to be important, that are going to be needed in the future. Now, here are a few suggestions. We know that virtualization is here to stay because people are using virtualized servers. You have one big server and you've got maybe 10 virtualized servers within that one box. That's the way data centers are going. And one of the most common virtualization software tools is VMware, virtual machineware, VMware. And you can download free copies of VMware, and then you can install it on your machine at home. You can play around with it. So I would learn VMware to get into the virtualization business. That could be one thing that would help you move up. And you might even, if you want to get serious, you can get certified in VMware. Cloud computing is really important.
Yep.
And so cloud computing is really virtualization with load balancing. So you put virtualized servers out on the web, and you have multiple servers, and then you can... Through load balancing, you can sort of distribute the traffic to all those services. So you really don't know where the server is. It's just somewhere in the cloud. And there are now a number of courses and programs out there that explain how to set up, how to manage, how to maintain cloud computing. Security is a very good area for you to get into. Now, the gold standard in security training is SANS. SANS. You can go to the SANS website and you can sit there. They've actually got some great programs. They're a little pricey, but they are the top tier security programs. You can read about security, but security is embedded in everything. The more you know about security, the better off you're going to be. Database management is good because everybody's going, you know, all the companies, they all have to store their data in some kind of database somewhere. The nice thing is you can get Oracle student packs. You can go to Oracle for maybe $50 or so, and you can get a pack of, you know, a pack of 20 CDs or so that have all the Oracle software on it. Now, it's crippled, so you can only have 20 records. It's not really good for a production database, but it's a good learning tool. So you could go home and you could install these Oracle tools and play around with them and kind of learn something about databases. That's another thing to do. Programming languages. If you don't know anything about programming languages, I'd start with Visual Basic. That's used for scripting. Scripting is a way that you can automate a lot of the things that are going. If you've got a Windows network, a lot of the functions on the Windows network can be automated with Visual Basic. That's the scripting tool of choice for Windows. If you want to then go beyond scripting, you might learn C as a programming language. That is a great foundation language in terms of notation. When they invented the C programming language, they came up with a notation which has actually been implemented in many programming languages since then. So if you learn C, you'll learn that notation. Then you can move on to an object-oriented programming language like Java or C++, which is using a very similar notation. Internet working devices like Cisco are pretty good. There are open-source Cisco simulators, which you can find on the web. You can install them on a Linux operating system. And you can, and then you can configure these internet working, Cisco internet working devices online and learn how that works. It's a great way to learn. Also, Linux is an open operating system, which you can download free of charge and install and play around with. Apache is an open source web server that you can download free of charge and play with. Those are just a few ideas. Now, ask your employer to pay for some certification courses for you. That always gets you going. Now, the reason that the employers like you to get certified is that if they have contracts, they can bill you out at a higher rate. So the more certified you're, the more money they make on
you.
And so that's why they're willing to pay for them. I would set up your own IT lab at home. Get a couple of computers in the basement. Start installing the stuff and just playing around with it. The more you play around with it, and the more you make your vocation your vacation, as they say, the more successful you're going to be. So just show some initiative, get this stuff going. Join user groups. If you really are interested in Apache or Linux or Oracle or Cisco, there are a lot of user groups out there, and you can rub shoulders with some of the professionals. And you want to subscribe to some of the industry rags, you know, some of these free publications that you can get. And you just say, I'm working in IT, and they'll send them to you, and you can read what's going on. So all of these things are designed for you to be an active learner who likes the challenge of learning new things. And that skill set is what employers want when they start promoting people and take them into the technology area. Great question. Great question, Andrew. From somewhere.
Yep.
Maybe that was secretly Andrew.
That's Andrew from cyberspace.
Okay, we have an email from Jeff. Jeff with a G.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Tech
E-O-F-F.
Talk, I would like to clear off or erase all the programs on my hard drive and clean it up before I donate my computer. What do you recommend? It's a Windows machine, Jeff. Well, that's a great great idea,
yeah.
Jeff. A lot of people give away machines, they don't clear the hard drive. There's all this personal stuff on there that people can rummage through, and you really want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the best way is to reformat the hard drive. You really just can't uninstall programs and leave Windows there. You're going to have to reformat the hard drive and then reinstall Windows. So you want to reformat the hard drive and then reinstall Windows. Now, just don't do a quick format. Do a full format. You see, a quick format will give you a new empty root directory on the hard drive. It'll add a label. But the rest of the hard drive, it just leaves alone. So many of the recovery tools will let you recover data from a quick formatted disk. So you want to use a full formatting if you want to make certain that people can't easily recover the data. Now, probably the best way to do it, though, if you really are paranoid about people getting your data, is to use DBAN. Now, that stands for Derek's Boot and Nuke. DBAN. That's a free utility. Now, it's a CD that you boot from, and then it nukes the information on the hard drive. So what you do, you download the DBAN CD image. You burn the CD image to a CD. Now, that means you're going to have an ISO writer because the image is an ISO format. So you're going to have to search for an ISO writer, and there are free ISO writers that you can download. Then you burn DBAN to the CD. Then you put the CD in the drive, set it up your computer so it will boot off the CD first and then go to the hard drive. Then it will boot off of the CD. It will come, and as soon as it boots off the CD, DBAN automatically loads and goes into action, and it completely deletes the contents of the hard drive that it detects. And you can actually delete and overwrite the data multiple times. And if you overwrite the data multiple times, you can't even use many disk recovery tools to get it back. So that's probably the most secure way to do it. Then once you've debanned your hard drive, you want to reinstall Windows. And if you want to be kind, you might even perform a security check on the Windows that you've installed. And then when you donate the computer, make certain to include the product key for Windows as part of the gift. And that may give you a very secure machine which doesn't have any of your information available on it. We got by the way, the web address for DBAN is www.dban.org. We got an email from Tung.
Another frequent writer.
This is Tung from Ohio. Dear Tech Talk, I'm a Cox Cable customer.
And I'm using
a Cox Cable email address. When I travel, Cox will not let me send emails when I use Outlook. I can receive the emails, but I can't send. What can I do? I'm a regular listener from Ohio and love the show. Thanks, Tung. Well, in the old days, You could use your ISP's outgoing mail server remotely. You just use that outgoing mail server. You could be in another location, and it would just forward your emails through that outgoing mail server, and it would work perfectly. And the ISPs did this without doing any kind of authentication. They would just trust that you were using their mail server properly because you were one of their users. Unfortunately, then something came along called spammers. And the spammers would take these open relays, as they called them, and these are outgoing mail servers that will forward email without authentication, and they would take these open relays, and they would just send hundreds of thousands of emails through those open relays. And then pretty soon, people identified the open relays, and they were put on blacklists. And so if your email came from one of these open relays, it would be blacklisted and automatically thrown into spam. So Cox, along with the other ISP, said, hey, wait a minute here. I don't want my outgoing mail server to be blacklisted. So then they started requiring authentication before you could use the relay. Now, there are two ways to do this. One way is they make you receive mail first. So you log on, receive your mail, and then you immediately send after that. So they say, okay, I know I've just gotten authentication for the incoming mail server, so I can trust you for the outgoing mail server, and then they don't force authentication if you've received first. So that's one way they could set it up. The second way they could set it up, they could force you to authenticate every time you would send. And so that way, if you want to send it, you've got to provide your username and email address. Well, you can configure your Outlook client to provide your incoming email username and password to the outgoing mail server for authentication. So that's the first thing I do. Go into your Outlook configuration, and then you configure the system so that it provides authentication to the outgoing mail server, and see if that works. Now, sometimes they just don't allow forwarding at all. They just fed up with it. Mm-hmm. And in case I've got a whole lot of accounts. One of my Verizon accounts, it's very hard for me to send mail out through that Verizon account. So when I'm traveling, and so what I use is actually the web interface for the Verizon account. So chances are Cox has got a web interface. You can log on to the web interface and look at your email, and then you send out your emails from the web interface, and you don't have to worry about this. That's what I do with Verizon. In fact, that's what, like, if you have Gmail, you use a web interface, you mm-hmm. don't have to worry about that. So, in fact, on my Outlook server for Stratford University, instead of even playing the game with all of this authentication, I use the web interface for all of our outgoing email, and that works just perfectly. Well, that was a great email, Tung, and best of luck in getting your outgoing emails working as you travel.
Yep, this is Tech Talk Radio, which is, of course, your classroom of the airwaves. Keep the headphones on, because you need to tell people how they can keep up with us on Facebook, because you've got the...
Oh, that's right. Exactly. Thank you very much. You want to go www.facebook.com/TechTalkOnline, and I'll be monitoring that Facebook page during the show.
That's why I'm the radio professional to help you through the next hour. You're listening to us on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2, 103.5 FM, HD2. Tech Talk continues right after this.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And now it is time for
Profiles in IT.
Yes, today we're going to be talking about Salman Amin Khan. They call him Sal for short.
He's in the mob or something?
That's right. Salman Khan is an American educator and founder of the Khan Academy, a free online education platform and nonprofit organization. I talked about the Khan Academy website last week as website of the week, and this guy is quite exceptional. Salman Khan was born in 1976 and raised in New Orleans. He was also born in New Orleans. He's the son of immigrants from India. Now, they came from India, but since they came to the United States, the part of India they were from has been renamed Bangladesh.
Uh-huh.
So it was initially part of Pakistan, and Pakistan has two sides, and then the one part of Pakistan, the eastern part of Pakistan, they renamed Bangladesh. He double majored at MIT. He received a Bachelor of Science in Mathematics and a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering and Computer Science in 1998. Then he went to graduate school there at MIT, and he got a Master's of Science in Electrical Engineering and Computer Science in 2003. In 2001. He earned an MBA from Harvard in 2003. So this is his fourth degree in quite a bit of time, and I couldn't decide if he wanted to do technology or business. While he was at MIT, he was president of the class and did a lot of volunteer teaching at a nearby school, Brookline School, for talented children. He also developed software to teach children with ADHD. Now, as soon as he got his MBA, he briefly worked as a technical architect at the Cient Foundation and as a senior project manager at Oracle. But then he quickly got out of that programming track, and then he was one of the first employees of the MVC Venture Capital Fund. It's a hedge fund. And he earned about $1 million while he was there until the hedge fund went belly up in the financial meltdown in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Then he decided to start his own fund. It's probably really bad timing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So there, during the worst part of the financial meltdown, he started the Khan Fund. He was portfolio manager of the Khan Fund. It was based where he lived in Menlo Park, and they shut their doors after about a year because it was just a bad time to be in business. So in 2009, with the permission of his wife, he quit his job to work full-time on the Khan Academy, and he used the $1 million that he got from that hedge fund to buy a house and set up a little set up a little reserve fund to, sort of live on. Now, why could he actually quit his job in 2009 and survive?
How could he do that?
It all started back in 2004.
Oh, okay. You're going to tell us, right?
I'm going to tell you the story. There's kind of a story here. It all started in the summer of 2004. Khan learned that his seventh grader cousin, Nadia, who lived in New Orleans, was having trouble in math class converting from pounds to kilograms. So he agreed to He agreed to tutor her remotely. So he used the Yankee Doodle software, which is like an online blackboard that you could, you could sketch on while you talked. And he'd log on to Yankee Doodle.
Is it Yankee Doodle or Yahoo Doodle?
Yahoo Doodle. Yeah, yes, thank you.
Sure.
Yahoo Doodle. That's why you're the professional.
I can read, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. But Yankee Doodle sounds so much better, doesn't it?
It does. I'm going to check this out while you're talking. Heard of Yahoo Doodle before.
Maybe I mistyped it. Yeah, just to double check.
Yeah, I think I'll check on that.
Okay, so he was using Yahoo Doodle software. It's like a shared notepad, and he would call her on the telephone, and he and Nadia would work together. And actually, she learned very quickly, got an A. Well, then pretty soon, her brothers wanted help. So then he started tutoring Ollie and Armand. Then word spread to other friends and relatives. Now, Khan wrote JavaScript problem generators to keep a supply of practice exercises. He wrote a little JavaScript, and they could just get problems that they could practice on over and over again. So he had automated that process because he didn't have time to do it. Then what happened was he had trouble because they were going to soccer practice and he was He had to work at the hedge fund, and he was having trouble coordinating all of this synchronous training online with Yahoo Doodle. Is that correct, Yahoo Doodle?
It is correct, yeah. I'm trying to get it to work.
Okay, so then they couldn't get the times going. So then he got the idea. He says, why don't I just use Yahoo Doodle and a microphone, and I'll make videos that I'll upload to YouTube. So he made little 10-minute videos of what he was going to teach the kids, and he uploaded them to YouTube. And he started working with these videos, and then pretty soon his cousins said, you know, Sal, we really prefer the YouTube video than you personally. You're better than the YouTube. I mean, the YouTube's better than dealing with you personally.
Great.
And, you know, at first he was
kind of hurt his feelings.
But,
I can bet, yeah.
But then he realized why they said that. First of all, if they're watching like this little, and his videos were all about 10 minutes long. If the video was about 10 minutes long, and suppose they didn't understand something, they could just go back and replay it.
Uh-huh.
And then they could replay it again. Now, if he was giving them the lecture live, they were afraid to have him repeat and repeat and repeat. So they liked the fact that they could do that. Or suppose he's in the middle of, they're listening halfway in the middle of the YouTube video, and their friend comes in. So they just put it on hold, play with their friend, and then they come back and listen to the rest of the video. Whereas if Sal is on there live, he's going to be teed off if he's sitting there waiting for them to finish playing with their
friend.
Then the other thing they liked was that suppose he would they listened to a video a couple of weeks ago, and they wanted to review it. Now, they were embarrassed to go back to Sal and say, you know that lesson that you gave us 2 weeks ago? We forget it all. Now they can just go back to the YouTube and listen to it. So they liked the YouTube version better than the live version of Sal. So he finally...
He doesn't give you any guff in the YouTube version.
And you can do anything you want.
Exactly.
That's right. So he started recording these on YouTube, and he decided to just leave them open. He didn't secure them so anybody could look at them. Then what happened was other people started watching them and liking them, and he started getting all of these emails. And then they started suggesting topics. So then he started making more of them. And if you look at his YouTube videos, they're very crude. And he's got this, and he makes these really ugly looking sketches. And when he draws on the sketchboard, it's not very neat. And he might be dropping the mic. I mean, you know, in terms of a production quality, they're very low quality production. But the kids loved them,
mm-hmm.
and they were short. They were only like 10 minutes long, so they could sit in there and listen to 10 minutes. And they learned from it. It turned out he was a fantastic teacher, and it was the teaching, his ability to teach, that counted, not the production quality. So he started making more and more and more of these things. Since that initial video, he's now made 2,871 videos dealing with a wide range of subjects, mainly focusing on mathematics and sciences. That's what he knew. And he decided to call this collection of videos the Khan Academy. And then it turned out a lot of K through 12 schools began to use it. Like math teachers would assign the Khan videos for the kids to watch at home. And then they would come to class, and they would do their homework in class. So they do the lecture at home, and they do their homework in class. It's called Flip the Classroom. And it was extremely, extremely successful. Now, what happened was people started noticing him. For instance, Bill Gates found out about him. And Bill Gates started using the Khan videos to teach his kids. And Bill Gates said, this guy is the best teacher she's ever heard. He said he's a little envious because he can teach his kids better than Bill Gates can teach his kids. So Bill Gates featured him, got up and talked to him. They were having this big powwow there out in the West Coast, and Gates got up and started talking about this software that Salman Khan had developed in the website, and all of a sudden everybody was paying attention to it. Now, since he got his initial contribution, people would just send in $10, $15 on PayPal. Kids would just pay a dollar if that's all they would have. So then he started getting some real money from these venture capital people. He got $10,000 from the wife of a VC, and then pretty soon the wife showed it to her husband, who then sent in $100,000. Then more VCs got involved. Now, in 2009, the Khan Academy received the Microsoft Tech Award for Education, and now the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is scheduled to give him $1.5 million for the foundation. Google has agreed to give him $2 million to support the creation of more courses and to enable the Khan Academy to translate his core library into other languages. In March 2011, Salman Khan was invited to speak at TED by Bill Gates. And this is where I first heard Salman right. Khan talk about what he's doing, and it's just really impressive. Now, the Khan Academy is now run by a 20-member team. It now has more downloads than MIT's open courseware, which was a big deal when MIT had all their open courseware available for anybody to use. The Khan Academy's YouTube channel is over 100 million download views compared to MIT's of 32 million.
Wow.
And MIT's are really highly produced, but it turns out that people don't want to listen to some big lecture. They want to hear just like a little 10-minute nugget right. and then move on. And so this might be the face of education going forward, where people self-paced, self-learning. And it's an example, yet another example, of how the Internet is transforming society. Now, if you want to go to the Khan Academy, it's khanacademy.org, and you can look at all of these videos. It's quite an impressive operation. And so it's really quite an interesting thing how a venture capitalist got into doing this work for helping to make society better. So when he quit his job in 2009 with the permission of his wife, that's when he started getting the promise of like $1.5 million from Microsoft and $2 million from Google. So now he just draws a salary from the Khan Academy. So his wife said, "Okay, Sal, I guess I'll let you quit your job." And he's got this, and he produces all these videos. He's got this closet in his bedroom, and it's a closet. And he just if you can see a picture of the closet. And he's got this little tiny desk in there and a mic. And he goes into the closet and he produces all these videos. And so his production studio is like a 5x6 closet. And the guy's quite impressive.
How does he make money with this? Because I just went to khanacademy.org and doesn't appear to be any advertising on it.
He says he does not want to monetize it. He doesn't want to have any advertising. It is purely based on donations. Purely on donations.
Wow.
Only. And he said he has no intention to monetize this thing at all. He says, I can do these videos so easily, and I can make such a difference to people around the world. He just said he just loves it. And he says, what do I need money for? He says, I've got a beautiful wife, I've got a funny kid, and I've got a Volvo. He says,
what
I don't really
do
need money.
Well, and of course, that information was in here, but I was too busy trying to get Yahoo Doodle to work. I don't think it exists anymore, Doc. I can't get it to launch. But then again, we never have trouble with anything launching on these computers.
That's right. Well, you may not have admin rights or something.
I think that's probably it.
It's probably, again, quashed by the system.
The man got me.
Yeah.
This is Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM, HD2. Hope you were paying attention, because your chance to hit us up for free food, if you got the right answer, comes up right after the break. The number to call is 877-936-9333. This is Tech Talk, your classroom of the airwaves on Federal News Radio.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the Internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor, 5 of the 30 occupations projected to grow the fastest by 2016 are IT-related, led by network and data communications analysts, software engineers, and systems analysts. 70% of business technology professionals surveyed by Information Week say there is a shortage of IT talent in the U.S. today. However, if you have previous military or management experience, there are tremendous opportunities for you in the IT field if you retrain. Stratford University's bachelor's degree in information technology prepares you to analyze, design, implement, administer, and secure computer networks and information systems. Master's degrees are also offered in information systems and software engineering. Day and evening classes are offered so you can continue in your current field. Call Stratford University at 800-444-0804 or visit online at stratford.edu. That's 800-444-0804. Stratford University, Tyson's Corner in Woodbridge.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
It's time for Washington's most popular and longest-running radio game show, the Stratford University Pop Quiz. Now, here's your host and star of our show. No, it's not Gene Rayburn. It's not Alex Trebek. It's not Richard Dawson. It's Dr. Richard Schertz.
You thought this was a radio
We've
show.
We've already covered that. It's
I
not.
Know, but it's actually a classroom of the airways. And when there's a classroom of the airways, there's going to be a test. Now, the nice thing is, with this test, if you get the right answer, you'll get two tickets to fine dining due to the Escoffier Dining Room or the Karim Dining Room in Woodbridge. And soon we'll have a dining room going in Baltimore and Richmond, but not quite yet. Earlier in the show, I was talking about Salman Khan, the founder of the Khan Academy. He started doing tutoring with his nephews when he started making these videos, and the tool that he used for online tutoring with his nephews and nieces was what tool?
Yep.
What was the name of the tool that he used?
And we just figured out that it's still there despite my misguided efforts
earlier. I just installed it, even though I don't think I'm supposed to have admin rights on this machine, but I did install it successfully.
Good.
So.
Well, I'll let IT know that as soon as we get off the
exactly.
air.
Exactly.
So here's the key thing. If you know the answer, you have to tell it to us somehow, and the best way to do that is to call us on the phone. The number is 877-936-9333. 877-936-9333. Once again, the number to call is 877-936-9333. Or you can hit us up on Skype, can't you?
Yes, you can. You can go to Tech Talk Radio 1, and you just simply connect to that account, and that call will be forwarded directly to the studio, free of charge.
Very nice. And of course, now, while the phones melt and Andrew gets busy, we'll talk about something else.
Yes. Iran claims to have hijacked a drone. Now, this is kind of interesting. The drone is the RQ-170 Sentinel. It is one of our most sophisticated drones, and Iran claims that it was hijacked using a flaw in the GPS guidance system. Now, of course, we don't know if this is really true because they sent out one of their engineers who spoke off the record to the Christian Science Monitor. So this could be misinformation. We really don't know. They said that they reverse engineered some previously shot down drones that were lower tech and were able to figure out how to exploit the navigational weaknesses in the drone system. Now, this is what they said they did. The Iran electronic warfare specialist explained that they could cut off the communications link by jamming all the communications. So the drone then lost connection to the control base. Now, the drones are set to automatically return home and land in Afghanistan if they lose connection. So if they're automatically set to turn around and go home like homing pigeons if they lose the link.
That's pretty cool.
And so they forced them into autopilot when they jammed the communication. But this is what they did. They also jammed the GPS coordinate system. Now there are two frequencies that are used for military frequencies that are encrypted. And what they did, if the two encrypted radio frequencies are jammed, it switches to the unencrypted mode band to get guidance. So what they did and what they said they did, they jammed the encrypted bands for the GPS, then they set up a fake GPS signal to it in the unencrypted band, and they gradually shifted the GPS signal so that they got the drone to think that it was in Afghanistan when it was actually still in Iran. And so the drone landed at its home base, thinking it was home base, but actually it was in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically hijacked the GPS system, and many military experts have said this is a possibility because GPS is very, very vulnerable to this sort of thing. And so they've always been worried about that because we have so many of our guidance systems or GPS operated, and it's a fairly vulnerable and fragile system if people are out to get it. So I think the Iranians, we don't know if this is misinformation or not. Many of the GPS experts say it's a difficult feat, but it could be done technically. But they doubt that it was done, and they think this is a form of misinformation. But whether or not it's misinformation or not, I think it's a wake-up call that we got to be careful with these GPS systems.
We sure do. Now, Doc.
Yes.
Believe it or not, nearly half of our estimated listening audience is called in today. We have five people on the phone.
Wow.
Isn't that great?
They are just burning up the phone lines.
And I see unfamiliar names here. Let's go to Barbara, who is calling us from Arlington, Virginia. Barbara, good morning. Welcome to Tech Talk. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good. Have you been listening to us for a while?
Well, this is probably maybe for 2-3 times. That's
Oh, good. Excellent. How did you find us?
Well, somebody told me about you, and it's an interesting show.
Thank you. We appreciate that. You already win. Don't even bother asking the question. Go ahead, Doc.
Jim, you are just bought off so easily. You're just a light touch, Jim.
I know.
Absolutely. I'm not going to be that light.
Okay.
Earlier in the show, we talked about Salman Khan. Of course, he's the founder of the Khan Academy. What software tool did he use to communicate with his kids? What blackboard? What shared blackboard did he use?
It's Yahoo Doodle. Not Yankee Doodle. Yahoo
that
Doodle.
That is correct.
Correct.
Very
Barbara, you're
good.
The winner.
Excellent. You get two tickets to fine dining, the Escoffier Dining Room or Karem Dining Room. Just stay on the line and give your name and address to Andrew, and we'll get the tickets out next week.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you for listening, Barbara. Stay with us. Hang on the phone. Andrew will be right with you and take your information here in just a moment. You are listening to Tech Talk, and this is Federal News Radio. Listening to us on 1500 AM, 820 AM, 107.7 FM HD2, 103.5 FM HD2. We have more tech news, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University.
Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. The product of the week is the Logitech Harmony Link. Now, this is the product of the week for me because I've been looking for a universal remote for my systems at home. And I really like this particular device because it connects to the home Wi-Fi network.
Ah.
And the actual logic for the universal remote is contained in either the iPhone application, the iPad application, the iPod Touch application, or an Android smartphone application. So you connect any one of those devices to your Wi-Fi network, and you can control the Harmony Link. Now, what the Harmony Link has then, it has an infrared blaster. It blasts out a very strong IR signal that bounces around the walls, and all of your devices pick up that IR signal, and they use that IR signal for their control, and whatever sequence you have for each of the devices, it picks it up. And so you don't really have to worry about it if you've got, and they said this thing is powerful, it's a powerful enough IR blaster that if you have components behind a grid in like a little enclosure, it'll go right through that grid. They said it's really quite good, and so it just bounces around the room. Or you could put this unit inside of the cabinet with all your components, and it would just communicate with them directly. So it's almost no wiring at all. You just plug it in and let it go. It's a great, great device. It's gotten fantastic reviews. And the nice thing is you can use swipes. Like if you've got your iPad, you can swipe it to increase the volume or swipe it the other way to decrease the volume. You can play back video. You can do this all without taking your eyes off the screen that you're watching. Now, it supports 5,000 different devices. So what you do is if you download the free applications for your iPhone or iPad or Android smartphone, and then you log on, then you go to their network, and you put down the model number of the devices you have, the kind of DVD, the kind of, you know, power amplifier you've got, whatever your components are, you plug them in, and then it knows all of the infrared codes for these things. And it's got the programming for 500 models. And then once you download the specific details for the model of the equipment that you have, this remote control will control everything.
Pretty cool.
I mean, that is really nice. I'll tell you, that is just, I've been waiting for something like that. Now, what I can't figure out, and I'm going to buy one of these and play with it. Suppose you've got two TV systems in the house, and they're both on the Wi-Fi network. How are you going to be able to tell which one it is? And I can't tell whether it supports more than one system on the Wi-Fi network or not.
Well, you certainly need to buy this then. And then because it's research, you can expense it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And you can have the marketing department at Stratford reimburse you for that.
Now, the other thing that I think is particularly going to be fun with this is that I can go upstairs and I can be in my office upstairs and I can log on to the iPad and I can start flipping channels. Marianne can be watching TV downstairs,
and I
can flip channels from another. I can do from another part of the house.
You're such an antagonizer, and that will ensure that she will visit the home office. I like that.
That's right.
Let us take a short break
okay.
here, and we'll be right back with more tech news here on Tech Talk Radio on Federal News Radio. Be right back.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. More of Tech Talk Radio, presented by Stratford University, coming up in a moment.
My career was going nowhere.
College just wasn't working for me.
I was lost. Then I discovered Stratford University.
Stratford.
Stratford University. Stratford helped me take the skills I already had and turn them into a career.
I'm more of a hands-on learner, and I just couldn't make it in those large classes.
I finally knew I had to do something different.
With campuses in Tyson's Corner and Woodbridge, Stratford helps you earn your accredited degree in business administration, culinary arts, allied health, hotel and restaurant management, information technology, and hospitality management through day, evening, weekend, and online courses. And with 10-week sessions and rolling enrollments, you can jumpstart your new career when you're ready.
Now I'm on my way to a real career.
I love my classes and professors. Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford was exactly what I needed.
Stratford University. Just start it and we'll help you finish. For information, call 1-800-444-0804 or check us out on the web at stratford.edu. That's stratford.edu.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio. IT trends, software, the internet, and IT careers. Here's Dr. Richard Schertz of Stratford University with Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. We are in the virtual faculty lounge at Stratford University talking technology. And I must say that the computer is not a good place to save all of your photos.
No.
You remember the old days when we had slides or negatives? You'd have a box, a metal box with all your slides in it. The beauty of and I still have boxes of slides from many years ago, is that they just last. And they don't,
yeah.
You never have your box of slides crash so that you can't recover the slides.
Good
and so
point.
Actually, that was a good way to archive photographs. But now we've gone to all digital pictures. So now we have just JPEG files saved on a hard drive. And computers crash, files get corrupted. You can accidentally delete your files. Laptop can get stolen.
Yep.
And if that's the only copy of the photo, which is on your laptop or your computer, you're going to lose it forever. So really, you want to archive your photos. Now, what I've done is I do a couple of methods. First of all, I took my laptop and I basically archive it to the cloud. So I do backup to the cloud, which is really, and there are a lot of backup services that you can get for $40 a year. And anytime I put new photos on my hard drive, it automatically backs up. But probably a better idea is to actually just burn a CD. Then you've got it. The nice thing about a CD is that you can make multiple copies of it. And you can archive. You can store your CDs. You can make two copies of CDs. You could put one of your CDs in a bank vault or in a safety deposit box if you want to keep it. And then it's always,
those are for your special photos.
Yes.
I got him.
Yes, those are the special photos that you need to keep locked up and secure.
Like, what are you putting in? Okay.
Now,
never mind.
Now, when you select your CD, what you want to do is you want to get, first of all, you have to see whether your CD will actually write CDs. So your disk drive should say CD read write. Then that means it's a burner if it's not just a CD reader. Make certain that your computer can do CD read-write. Then if you have that, you've got to buy blank disks. Now, you can get two kinds of blank disks. You can get a CD blank disk that says CDR, which means write once. Or you can get CDRW, which means you can write and then rewrite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do not get the rewritable disks. Get write once, and then it can't be overwritten.
It can't be overwritten.
It's just
exactly
done. Once it's on, it's on. You can't put it back in the computer and mess it up. So just get write once, and then you put it on the computer. Now basically, one way to do it is to pick a day every month and archive all your pictures. You're putting a lot of pictures up there every day, that you can archive the pictures that you've had for the last month, and you can just write. You can actually, some of the writers actually allow you to label the CD. You turn it over and you can actually do a label write on it. You archive your pictures. Now, the nice thing is you can actually send CDs to your friends if you want to share the pictures, and they've got them on copy. Now, the question is, how many CDs how many photos can you get on your CD or DVD? Well, let's take a CD. A CD holds about 720 megabytes, formatted around 700 megabytes. So you can get probably around 730 low-quality pictures. They'd be about 1.2 megabyte pictures. Or you could get around 326 high-quality pictures, which would be around 2.1 megabytes. So you can look at maybe between 325 to 700 photos on a CD, depending on the quality of picture that you are storing. I'd recommend, if you're archiving photos, do it the highest quality, and then you can save them. That way you can print 8x10s or larger pictures if you have a high quality. Now, how many pictures will fit on a DVD? Now, a DVD has around 4.7 gigabytes of storage, so it stores more. So of the low quality, which would be 1.2 megabytes, you could store around 3,400 pictures. And if you want to do high quality pictures, around 2.1 megabytes per picture, you get around 2,000 pictures on a DVD. Right. So that's a very good way to do that. And so I highly recommend that you back up to the cloud, you back up to another hard drive, but then also burn CDs because they can be easily archived.
That's right. Yep. We are just about out of time.
We're just about out of time.
Less than a minute.
Well, okay. I think we should just hang in there then. I'm certainly glad that Microsoft is almost through with their big antitrust suit. They were sued for $1 billion by Novell, and that because Novell said they were improperly competing on the word perfect market, and that jury was hung. So it'll be an interesting thing. I might talk about that more next week. But it looks like we're almost out of time. Look, we love your emails.
Yes.
Send us emails to techtalk@stratford.edu. Also, you can go to techtalkonline.com. We have all of our shows uploaded in MP3 format, and you can download them and go to Apple iTunes and say you love the show. Also, go to stratford.edu and say you heard about Stratford on Tech Talk.
And you can hear this show again at 5 o'clock today.
If it's technology, it's Tech Talk Radio.
Learn more about Stratford University Program's consumer information by visiting their website at www.stratford.edu/content_pages/view/degree-programs.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news now.
Sun comes out in a bit. We're going up to 45, 40 degrees at 10 a.m.
This paid commercial may not represent the view of Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility.